Hello everyone, and welcome to Beast Overload. This is your Brentford FC podcast. Let's get this out of the way right now. I am an American, obviously, and I am a new Brentford supporter. So let's just get this out of the way right now. I didn't grow up in Brentford or West London. I didn't grow up knowing these great Brentford players. But a few years ago, I was in college. I wanted to get into football. I like Liverpool, full disclosure. But I didn't love Liverpool. I didn't live and breathe Liverpool. I didn't feel that the connection to Liverpool was as strong as I wanted. So I was looking for a team who I could really get behind. And so I wanted to find a team that I could really support. And I wanted, what I was looking for was someone, a club that place young players, who believes in development, who is highly aggressive, who is highly entertaining, who, again, might be under the radar, who try to outsmart the system. They weren't going to be able to compete with the Chelsea at that time of Roman Abramovich, of Pep City, Jurgen's Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal. I don't include Manchester United in there because Manchester United's a joke. But I wanted to find a club that wanted to outsmart the market, that wanted to be this smartly operated, unique style of team. So then I started to research Brentford. I had, you know, seen Brentford on Football Manager. I'd seen them on FIFA. I knew of the club. And so I did some research into Phil Giles, into Benham. And I fell in love. I love the fact that Brentford, their supporters saved them from bankruptcy. That you guys went out and you saved your club. And now how this team has operated under Benham has been phenomenal. Going out, and yes, with his connection to Midland and Denmark, how he's done this is tremendous. How he's not only, he spent the money wisely, and he's used metrics, and he's used advanced stats, and he, again, is looking for developing these players. I love the fact that Brentford, well, before this season, didn't have your traditional under 23 team. They had a B team. They operated more as a European-based youth setup rather than your traditional under-23 setup that England says to use if you're going to have an academy. And how Brentford has gained the system this way by having these friendlies, by playing these matches, by going out and outsmarting people with the setup and development, producing great players, going and looking at players who people have never heard of from lower leagues and putting them in the system and using the XG to their benefit. Now, I'm not a huge XG nerd. I think, truthfully, XG is a little overrated, and if I'm going full disclosure here, I think XG is overrated, and It's not the end-all, be-all metric that some would say it is. But that's for a different discussion, different day. But I like the fact that Brentford is using different metrics when it comes to formulating their club. They're buying and selling of players. So I was always intrigued by the setup and how it works. And again, I like Benham's story, being a sports gambler, going out and buying a club and then putting into place smart people. I mean, just look at what's going on with Manchester United right now, for example. They're an utter disaster. You've got Newcastle, who have decided to sell their soul for top six, seeing if they can take advantage. But here's Brentford, and it's not your traditional, again. I know Leeds fans like to say, oh, the Leicester model. I'm so sick of that. Hate Leeds fans. Biggest bunch of... asses that I can say I've come across. But I love the way Brentford operate. It's a great club. And so I fell in love with the system. And this was even before Thomas Frank was manager. This was when Dean Smith was there. The no dickheads policy that Frank likes to talk about, established under Benham and Dean Smith. It's just a great club. And I was there for the promotion season. So who are my favorite players? Number one, Rico. Oh my God, I love Rico Henry. The day we sell him is going to be a very sad day, if we ever sell him. Hopefully we never do. Hopefully he's a Brentford player for life. But I mean, the way he's going, I don't think he's gonna be. I think a big club is gonna come in for him, sadly. But there's always a hope. I just love Rico. I love the way he plays. I love Josh De Silva. I think De Silva is the man. Always scores a banger. And again, I love his story coming back from that bizarre hip injury last year. And I'm going to add Mikel Damsgaard to this. And in terms of youth setup, I really like Miles Pert-Harris. I like MPH. Some people don't, but I do. I think if MPH gets some minutes, he's a special talent there. So that's where I stand. I just wanted to give you a little introduction before I really get into the meat and bones of this podcast. So let's get into the match from Sunday. Wow. What can you say about that first half? That first half was completely awful. The way that Brentford just sat back and we invited the pressure on to Leicester. We've seen this before with Thomas when it comes to matches against Leicester. I don't know why, but it always seems that Leicester has always figured out Brentford from the perspective of, I mean, the last year that we played them, both times we lost 2-1, and they always went 2 up on us. So until a Rico magic happened. So it was looking like that was going to happen again. I mean, okay, the Jamie Vardy, your wife is a grass chants were hilarious, but letting Leicester play on and control the tempo and pace was not good. I thought Norgaard was decent. He made some good tackles early in that half, but I think he was being overrun by Dewsbury Hall. I thought that Madison had his way. Tielemans, I understand what Thomas Frank was trying to do there, and that was to take away the box, the inside shots that Leicester like, especially with Vardy starting and Didi and Madison in that lineup. So they were having Tielemans, Dewsbury Hall, Madison launch those shots 30 yards out of goal. So he wanted to take away the box. He wanted to take away the easy goals, which I can understand. Well, when you have Raya in goal, I mean, you got to have a little faith that he's going to be able to control Vardy and all of them in the box. And for the most part, we shut Vardy down, but it was the midfield of Dewsbury Hall and Madison and Tielemans that really controlled that first half. I thought that Norgaard, again, fine. But he let them control the pace. I thought Jensen was a disaster. I was not impressed at all with Jensen. And I know there's been some movement and some talks from Brentford supporters about whether or not Jensen's up for the Premier League. And let's, you know, not to disrespect Jensen, but I don't think he is. I think that Mikkel Damsgaard comes in and takes Jensen's spot. I think right away. I think he comes in and just takes that spot right from Jensen. Because I don't think Jensen's up for the Premier League. He's not the Christian Eriksen answer that some thought he was going to be. So I thought Jensen was bad. John Elts, he was fine. Again, I see some talk now of people wanting to play three at the back with him. I mean, he's done well when he's moved to left center back. He did well in this match when he moved to left center back, but we'll see. We'll see there. You know, Pinnock and Ayer have got to get healthy. Especially if Ben Mee's going to play that way. Mee, I thought was fine. Gave up that first goal. Looked a little chaotic in that first half. Especially again with that first goal. Wizza, can't cross to save his life. I think you put either Damsgaard or Keenlow's Potter in that role. And you have Wizza come off the bench. And Bremo keeps hitting the damn side netting. I mean, I don't know what you want. Tony, excellent as always. Rico, I thought Rico was man of the match for Brentford. Again, outstanding. Maybe a little Rico bias, but I thought that he was outstanding. Especially with creating. Hickey really didn't do anything. So I'm going to go through my match ratings in a bit. But Hickey, not here or there, not good or bad. Fine. So in that first half again, I thought the 4-3-3 setup was all incorrect. I don't think we played a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3 against Leicester last year, did we? I don't believe so. I believe we always came out in the 4-3-3. Especially since I believe we played them later in the year. And yeah, Thomas was really sold on the 4-3-3. So I think that Leicester in that first half were fully prepared for us to come out in that 4-3-3 formation. And they showed, again, I think that Dewsbury Hall, Tielemans, Madison really controlled the pace of the match. Again, I think Jenilton, Jensen, and I'm going to put Norgaard in there. We're not a good midfield pairing. I think that I would like to see maybe Baptiste get in, keep Norgaard. Maybe put a Baptiste next to him. Maybe, again, put a Da Silva. We'll see. But, again, that first half was not good. And it shows from the stats. I mean, when you look at it, when you look at the stats from this, and you look at the XG timeline. Again, not a big XG fan. But right off the bat, right in that 30 minutes, right before they scored, Leicester, I mean, up until that 30 minutes, we were actually fairly even. We actually got out early in terms of XG, expected one goal, or at least 0.1 ahead of Leicester for those first 15 minutes. And then around the 20-minute mark is when Leicester started pulling away. And you look at their XG and two expected goals, two goals, and we actually flatlined. We dropped in XG that first half. And then, of course, around the 60th minute, 75th minute, 80th minute, we just pulled away from them. But that early first half, it was all either even or Leicester pulled off from the 30 to 60 minute mark in terms of XG at a higher expected output than us. So, yeah, that was not good. Momentum, again, was all with Leicester in that first half. And you look at distribution. 530 passes for Leicester. Good chunk of that came in that first half, where they were pinning the ball all around. Where we got them was the long passes. And so this is, again, what Thomas Frank wanted, was them to shoot outside the box. They had 9 shots outside the box, but here's the disturbing part, they had 5 inside the box as well, which is the same as us. So that 4-3-3 did not work. It fell right into Leicester's hands. So we have to look at this and say, how do we improve in that first half? Well, I think that perhaps getting away from the 4-3-3 would be the best solution. I think that maybe we come out in a 4-3-3 or a 3-5-2. Against Manchester. Throw them off a little bit. Say, okay, we're going to mix it up. We're going to try something new. We're going to try something different. It seemed to work. And how we knew it worked was that second half. Again, you look at from the 30th minute to the 60th minute of that match, it was all Leicester in terms of SG, in terms of momentum. Again, if you look at the momentum chart in that Sky Sports actually has a really good one. Early on, we had all the momentum. And then there was a huge chunk from the 30th minute on. Or should I say 20th minute on. 20th minute until the 58th minute. So about 38 minutes of play where it was all Leicester in terms of momentum. And then we actually had control most of that half from the 60th minute on. Yeah, Leicester got some momentum back later in, around the 93rd minute where Baptiste crossed it off the line. Thank God, but we were a Rico Henry offside goal call from winning that match, given where we were. So, the change of formation obviously helped. So, let's talk that second half. We know what happens. Leicester come out. Again, we shift into that 3-4. No, we did not shift into the 3-4-3 until he made the subs. Yes, that's right. So we come back out for 4-3-3. And again, Leicester take advantage. Shots outside the box. Leicester managed to, again, find the range. The goal by Dewsbury Hall. It's not looking good. Here we go again. And then this is where we see the genius of Thomas Frank and why we have come to love him so much. Why I think he's probably one of the best managers or one of the most underrated managers in the Premier League. I mean, why none of these big clubs are talking about Thomas Frank? I don't know. But thank God they're not, because where the hell would Brentford be without them? We'd be screwed without Thomas Frank. So this is where we see the genius of Frank. He takes off Ben Mee, and he takes off, was it Wissa? Did he take off Wissa? Who did he take off? He took off Ben Mee because that was Lewis Potter. Oh, he took off Jensen. Yeah, so he takes off Ben Mee and Jensen. He brings on Keane Lewis Potter and Josh De Silva. Now, I am a huge Keane Lewis Potter fan. I have wanted him for since he was in League One with Hull. I think he was outstanding. And he showed it last year in the championship. And I think he's going to do it again. I think we got a taste of him. Definite momentum change there. Him and Hickey on the left was fantastic. I mean, I don't think Leicester saw it coming. That change to the 3-4-3 really was a game changer. And again, I think that I'm sorry, it wasn't Hickey on the left, it was Rico. Rico on the left. Rico and Lewis Potter on the left. I'm still not used to Hickey being the right back, since he's always been left back, but gonna have to get used to that. So Rico and Keane Potter on the left, outstanding when they came on. And De Silva right next to Norgaard, with Hickey out wide as well. So I was really impressed, and that's where you get to see Leicester really open up, and they didn't have an answer. Their midfield, their defense got overrun from that point forward. They couldn't contain Rico. They had no answer. And especially with Lewis Potter out there, two speedsters, two creative players, they didn't have an answer. So that's why you got that beautiful assist from Rico to Ivan Toney in the 63rd minute, and it's 2-1. Now, at this point, I was thinking, well, here we go again. We make a nice run. It's going to be 2-1. Okay, we can take some negatives away from this, but we can take some positives. Okay, what are we going to do? So I was, like, accepting it. And then Josh freaking De Silva. He did not have a great preseason. I mean, he was pinning the ball around a little bit. At some moments, some occasions, he was pinning the ball around. But he was playing a little more advanced than he would like in that kind of like Eriksen role. So I don't think it was his natural box-to-box position that we've come to know from him. So De Silva, okay, injuries and all that, it's a great story. He comes on, he helps change that match again. That 3-4-3 with De Silva and King Potter with Norgaard in the middle and Hickey and Rico out wide. I really like that. That's something that I would look into going forward. I mean, if you want to change out Lewis Potter for Damsgaard or put Damsgaard in for Wizza, I'd be all for it. Maybe you want to go to a 3-5-2 with Baptiste in there as well. Again, I'd be all for that. I don't think Jensen's going to make it. Jongels, again, I'd look for maybe left center back. That's some people were saying. So again, recapping, after the Rico goal, on comes Baptiste in the 72nd minute for Norgaard. Thanks to the 5-sub rule. Thank you, God. So comes on Sorensen. And Halil for Wizza had a horrible game. Huge non-factor for Wizza. He was not on fire. But again, getting back to the point, here comes Baptiste, and I think Baptiste offered something Norgaard didn't. Baptiste was aggressive, he was physical, he controlled the pace. I really like Baptiste, if you can't tell. I thought he was outstanding in this limited minutes, especially since he cleared the ball off the line when Leicester were going to get a goal. But here comes Brentford again. Controlling the pace. Everyone's getting forward. De Silva, it's that wonder goal. I'm so happy for Josh. You know, he was crucial during our promotion year. But a lot of people felt that he was going to go the Jensen route of not being ready for the Premier League. Not being that level. Turns out, I think Josh, a healthy Josh De Silva, should be a starter. I think that, again, he's got the talent, he's got the skill set, he's got the ability, the capabilities, all of that. I'd play him. I'd start him. Especially after that goal and how open and fluid we looked. But again, I think that Baptiste was a big factor as well. I don't think he gets enough credit. But when you look at how he stabilized the midfield after Norgaard went out, they weren't overrunning us once Baptiste comes on. So I think that the move to bring in Baptiste, a lot of people have said he needs more minutes. Well, I think Thomas sees him in the plans now. So, again, great goal by Josh De Silva. A banger of a goal. Great, great shot. Perfect. Then comes the 88th minute, I believe, 89th. Rico's got a goal. Sadly, Mbeumo's offside, so doesn't count, but Rico just burned whoever was on that left-hand side. Burned him, made him look like a fool. So then comes the almost scramble by Leicester. It would have been heartbreaking, devastating, but we pick up a very good point against a side that's faltering, but you know, I think Leicester's still going to be in the top 8, top 9, so we'll see. But I think that's a very good point, especially because it breaks the streak of 2-1 losses we've had. So ratings, Raya, 7, made some key stops. Yeah, the post helped him out a little bit, but I thought he was very good. Hickey didn't do anything, really. 6. Janssen, 7. You know, Janssen, Pontus is Pontus. Me, I give a 6 because he looked a little lost. He got substituted once he went off. He looked a lot better. Rico, I give an 8. Man of the match for me. Norgaard, 7. Jensen, I give a 5. I don't think he's Premier League quality. Janolt, 6. Wiza, I give a 5. He was horrific. He's got to find his form. Mbeumo, side netting again. Jesus, Brian, what are you doing? 7. 6.5. Tony, 7. Excellent. No, actually, I'll give Tony an 8. I'll give Ivan an 8. De Silva, I give an 8. Lewis Potter, 7. Baptiste came on. I give him a 7. Jaleo and Sorensen didn't really do anything. So, 6s, which is the average for them. So, how would I set up for Manchester United? Now, I think that a lot of people are going to be in for a rude awakening. I'm not talking about Brentford fans. When it comes to what's going to happen with Brentford and Manchester United this weekend, I think we win this 3-0, maybe 3-1. Manchester are, I mean, they're talking about Arnautovic, that racist piece of crap. Who else? Who's the guy from Juve? Oh my god. Shoot. Oh, Rabiot. They're talking about Rabiot. Rabiot wouldn't even play. So they're going to have a midfield probably of either McFred or Fred and Vanderbeek. But here's the big thing. They got the 5'9 midget Lisandro Martinez going against Ivan Toney, with Rico pinning Ivan balls. Oh my god, that's gonna be bad. And I mean, if they were smart, they put Varane to cover Martinez, but Ten Hag just made Harry Maguire captain, so I don't think that he's gonna bench the captain after one match in the preseason. So we could be seeing that combination of Varane, Maguire, or Maguire, Martinez, or Martinez, Varane. I mean, I don't know why they got rid of Eric Bailly, but stupid. I mean, I would like Eric Bailly, if I was being honest, for Brentford, but that's besides the point. I think we come in with a 3-4-3. I think me, Pontus, maybe Lenglet, Lengel, excuse me, or maybe Sorensen out there. I think you got Hickey, Da Silva, Norgaard, Rico. I go Lewis Potter, Ivan Toney, and Mbeumo. That's how I line up. I come off that 4-3-3 and really put the pressure on Manchester United, because we're going to carve them up. They got lucky last year. Thomas Frank said they got lucky last year. And I think that we're going to show why. So let's talk about the Christian Eriksen regen. That is Mikkel Damsgaard. I am over the moon with this signing. Now, let's get this out of the way first. Yes, he's coming off arthritis. In his hip, or was it his knee? I've seen two different reports saying it's his knee, and then someone said it was his hip. I don't know. But he's got arthritis. Now, people say, well, he was injured last year, he didn't play, yada, yada, yada. Here's the thing. The medication that Mikkel Damsgaard was supposed to have is banned in Syria. I believe it's got some steroid properties or some properties where they call it a performance enhancer or something. I'll have to look more into that, but I did read that there were some properties in the medicine that was recommended where he couldn't really use it because he was in Syria. Now, when he goes on international tour, and that's where he really does well, he's allowed to have that medicine because Italy's got some messed up medical rules or whatever. Premier League, that medication's allowed. And again, I'll try to find the, excuse me, I'll try to find that link to the story about the medications. Mikkel Damsgaard is special. I mean, you want a Christian Eriksen regen, and I actually am starting a blog as well as the podcast, but I call him a Christian Eriksen regen because it's true. He is totally press resistant. And again, you look at DribLab, which is actually a very good account on Twitter, where they analyze these players, and they analyzed his 2021 Euros, where he played 326 minutes. And he's got 1.4 key passes from open play. Expected assist, 0.35. Expected goals, 0.55. He's getting off 2.5 shots a match. Ball progression, 9.7. Successful dribbles, 3.4. Touches in the opponent's box. And now, again, remember how Thomas Frank likes to play. He likes to get the ball inside through long balls. Or having these pacey forwards, having these pacey players get inside the box. 3.311. He is a Christian Eriksen regen. And now that he's healthy, and again, let's look at his year before at Sampdoria. Before he had the arthritis. Again, we're talking about, and this comes from FB Ref, which is an excellent site. So, dribbles attempted, 8.3. Success rate, 59%, very good. Above average for an attacking mid. carries completed, below average at 70. Progressive carries, okay, a little below average, but not too much. Goal creating actions, again, think of a Rico Henry. Way above average at 0.95. Pass, now this is again the biggest one, and this is what Thomas Frank loves. Passes into the final third at 4.4, above average. Progressive passes, again, at 6.6, above average. So we are looking at a Christian Eriksen regen, who is young and hopefully will be healthy. And I'm very excited with Damsgaard. I think that once we see him, I think that he replaces Wissa, as much as that might hurt some people to say. I think that in terms of crossing, in terms of how Thomas wants to play, Damsgaard's it. Damsgaard's that ideal left winger / attacking mid. Stick him on top. And I think we're good to go. So I'm very excited about Mikkel Damsgaard. Very excited. I think this is a game-changing signing. I think for 20 million, he's perfect. And again, Tottenham wanted him a year ago. Conte's a big fan, apparently. So we're smart and got him at the right time, the right moment. And this goes back to why I like Brentford, because we find these right moments. And I think Mikkel Damsgaard's going to be special for us. Hopefully we get to see him against Manchester, because that would be awesome. All right, guys, so that's it. Hope you like it. And I'll be back later with some more thoughts.